With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is MC Spell. Yeah, Jim Campbell's here.
Heyo.
Luke Moore is here.
Have you hit record, Pete?
And Pete Diddy Donaldson.
Not my responsibility.
It is.
It's not my fault the rest of them are all Luddites. Yeah, that's right. I got the dial. I can turn it down and turn it back up again.
So what were you saying just there about Jesse Lingard, Peter? put it back in,
yeah,
I say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you say that a lot. What?
Don't cut it out. More of it. More of it. One of the things that's come out about the Jesse Lingard gate,
yeah,
is that every single...
Ramble has to involve
highlights of the weekend and looking ahead to the weekend now features inevitably 400 Jesse Lingard comments, and you'll hear a few of them later.
Yeah, good.
Well, will we? Who knows?
He deserves it. He's gone from strength to strength. We should be talking about him now.
Yeah. Strength.
Well, maybe we've inspired
strength.
Him by being so indifferent to him that he wants to prove us wrong.
We're the canary in the mine.
Yeah,
we're the Lingard in the mine, guys.
With a Lingard in the starting lineup.
Oh, my giddy aunt, eh? What about those Champions League goals Liverpool scored? They got a lot of them.
Last night, it was absolutely fantastic.
They scored a lot of goals.
Yeah.
The most amount of goals an English side has scored in the group stages of the Champions League. That is that Liverpool side for you, Jim. And they got a clean sheet as well.
It was brilliant. You know, the thing that must be so exciting about the Liverpool team at the moment for Liverpool fans is when you just listen to the commentary of the game, like the names of the players as they're just spreading the ball about so deliciously, like Coutinho, Salah, Sturridge, Firmino, Mane, all of them. You're like, yeah, he's good. He's great. Oh, I love this team. You know, when your team is really at its peak and you're really sort of enjoying how they're playing, that's one of the sort of tiny little micro joys of football. And they have that in spades at the moment.
Do you fear for Jordan Henderson?
I don't actually, because a lot's been made of him being left out of the team. And obviously, he's a captain, so that's quite a headline thing, isn't it? But Klopp has said that he was 100%.
Is Thomas Vermaelen not still the Arsenal captain?
Somewhere, yeah. Somewhere, and Barcelona and Ajax probably. He's all three at once, and yet none. He's an interesting philosophical question, is Thomas Vermaelen.
Indeed.
But I think, Henderson's going to play on Sunday, apparently, against Everton. So that's a huge, huge game. So I think Klopp's got his faith in him, and I think maybe a little bit too much has been made of this.
I don't think a captain's that important at Liverpool. What are you going to say? Be top heavy.
Yeah.
Swarm.
Is good.
I'm trying to think of the last time I saw a player, and in this case James Milner, come off the bench to make three assists.
That's really something.
Very nice.
And
Liverpool battered Spartak Moscow nice and early, and obviously were 3-0 up with about 18 minutes gone. And you thought, this is going to be 3-3.
Yeah.
We'll close it out to half time, which of course they did. I think it was 3-0 at half time, but then they just put the pedal to the metal, didn't they?
They did. But that severe game, actually, in the context of the last kind of, what would it be, 9 or 10 games or something, that 9 games maybe, that Liverpool have played, is a bit of an anomaly. Actually, Klopp said, we had to learn from that, and he would have drilled that into his players. And my goodness, they seem to have learned their lesson.
Well, I wonder if Liverpool are, in fact, a bit of a danger in the Champions League this year. Because I don't think, and I don't think anyone here probably thinks, that they have what it takes to sustain a Premier League title challenge currently because of their defensive problems. But when you're talking about one-off games and two-legged sort of knockout ties and stuff, and given Liverpool's pedigree in the competition anyway, so they'll have the belief. I mean, the whole belief of the European Cup permeates the club anyway. Mm-hmm. I think there will be... Let me put it another way. A lot of big teams out there will not want to play them, and they've won the Champions League when they haven't been the best team before.
Weren't they the best team in that competition? Look at the lineups in the final. It is crazy.
Yeah, but they were better than a lot of people gave them credit.
Of course they were. Yeah, absolutely. But you're right. When you're describing the Premier League season that they're having, and then into the Champions League, but
Klopp's taken Dortmund to the final, and they weren't. Dortmund weren't amazingly good
in knockout football. You can't defend all the time. Someone needs to win the football match.
You've got to get out there. Exactly.
So Liverpool have got that in spades.
Did you see Sweden against Italy?
It's a hell of an attacking lineup, wasn't it? Because he started with Salah and Firmino up top, sort of on paper, but Coutinho and Mane just pushed out really wide.
Yeah.
So it's effectively a 4-2-4, which is such a bold formation. But obviously it paid off in spades. I love that. He's so committed to that.
Yeah. I mean, Mane's goal as well. We have to give that a mention.
The volley. Yeah. Brilliant. Unbelievable.
It was delicious. I think with Liverpool, you're right, Luke, actually. I never really quite considered that then in the Champions League, because the thing is, if you come up against Liverpool, if you come up against a side, if you're one of the big boys, say, even a Barcelona or somebody like that, Bayern Munich, if you come up against a decent side who are fairly decent all over the pitch, you think, OK, but we should have enough, we should be better. But Liverpool are so devastating on the counter and they have such a great dynamic forward line that actually it's an enormous consideration, you know, because the likes of even Barcelona, but just say if they did in the competition, if they wanted to push Liverpool and go, right, well, we'll just attack them, you've got to be careful because you can't just leave that back door open. You have to give respect to that Liverpool forward line.
Well, what they're so good at is creating space because they're so fast and then just absolutely killing you with it. And I think what Sevilla did, which was interesting, was just completely denied them that. So it's about how they front up to that in the face of a team that are really good at stopping them from doing that.
But will one of the big sides adapt their play significantly?
Well, Liverpool can play. They can't play Barcelona, but they can play some decent teams. They can play Juventus.
Real Madrid.
They can play Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can play Bayern as well. So
yeah.
So there's obviously a chance to play against some good teams, and in many ways, it's almost, I think it's a little bit of a sort of anomaly, not an anomaly, but a little bit of a false sort of thing to say when people say, oh, you know, you've got to win your group in the Champions League. They're essentially basing that on when Arsenal kept drawing Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Because there are so many good teams in the Champions League that your chances are two or three of the top teams are going to be drawn with another top team and they're going to come second and you're going to draw one of them.
All that advantage will be is for that next round.
Yeah, exactly.
As you say,
sure. I mean, you do want to win your group. I mean, Real Madrid, you know, Spurs topping that group is a strange one. Nobody could have predicted that, but they couldn't draw Spurs anyway, I believe, in the second round. You'd rather play Bayern than PSG, even though Bayern beat them 3-1, but the way PSG have been playing, you know. And Juventus are in with Barcelona. So you would rather win your group, but I take the point.
I think Pete's right in what he says, though. You'd rather be a team who know and are confident in how many goals you can score than being a defensively solid team so far that season. Because if you play someone really good, the chances are they're going to score, and then you need to score. Liverpool can put seven past Spartak Moscow, obviously Spartak
and
Moscow.
Maribor.
Yeah, fine, but neither of those teams are going to go deep in the tournament anyway.
Thanks to Liverpool,
exactly. So it remains to be seen what they can do against better teams. But the fact that they're scoring goals for fun is a great thing.
Yeah, and when Alderman and Chan in the centre of the midfield, you know, they've got a lot of work to do with that with that forward line. But then I suppose if you're defending from the front and you're playing on the break and all that kind of stuff, actually the forward line does so much work as well, so it does ease the pressure off those two. But I mean, if they did play against, I suppose, on paper, better opposition, then you would need another body in there.
I don't think he would play like that.
But you could bring in Henderson. Exactly. You could even bring in Milner in that position, or lest we forget Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Liverpool didn't actually have a huge amount of possession against Spartak Moscow. It's 52%. It won 7-0.
Yeah.
So they it's not as though they just dominated the ball from start to finish. They just dominated and were ruthless with their chances.
Dominated the goals though, Jim. 100% of the goals.
100% of the goals.
You can't argue with that at all. They're
it's like that's 7-1-0 wins at once.
Oh, Leicester. In their championship winning season.
That's a multi-pack.
Yeah. Well, they're up against their friendly neighbours Everton this weekend, of course. Everton, not so successful in Europe, it's fair to say. They're off to Cyprus at the time of recording that game. Hasn't played. It's a dead rubber, though, so it doesn't really matter. The last I heard is Sam Allardyce is not going out with them, which I thought was very unlike Sam Allardyce to pass up a trip to Cyprus.
Yeah, very I can't believe that.
We found love,
I love
in
it.
A hopeless place.
I absolutely love
remember
it.
Remember him with the tie?
Yeah, tie around his head.
That was the song. The song he was fist pumping.
But can you believe that a manager of a top flight club is not going to an away game?
Yeah, why? Well, it's a dead rubber.
Doesn't care, does he? He doesn't care about standing on ceremony like that. And he's obviously looking at the Merseyside derby coming up and how good Liverpool are at the moment, thinking, genuinely, it is best for me to stay here and do more prep. And I think...
Well, you can't do prep because his players will all be out there.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, they're going to send sort of like a skeleton squad, aren't they? It's not going to be...
skeletons?
Of actual skeletons, yeah. Yeah, he's been in touch with Neville Southall.
They don't have any energy. They don't have any energy. They'll have no body to go with.
Well, yeah. Craig Shakespeare, though, is taking the team.
Exactly.
Out. And he's as
how
good
weird as... football is.
How will you muscle someone off the ball?
It's worth the wait, Pete, in my opinion.
Going back to the
show. It's worth the wait. Yeah. They will literally be down to the bare bones. Yeah,
there we are.
But I think Allardyce he's assessed what the situation is, and if he's decided he thinks it genuinely is best for him to stay home and do whatever that prep may be that he's talking about, and he thinks that gives his team an advantage, isn't that a sign of good management to just sort of to ignore the ceremony of, oh, you should be there, and think...
Ignore the ceremony. That is literally a big part of the job, though, isn't it?
It's the only part of the job.
I'll be there.
With a dead rubber.
Pete, Jim, I'm not coming to the show next week. I think I'm better at being at home.
You've done that for 2 weeks.
If it's a dead rubber, what's the point?
All these shows are dead rubbers.
Show we're never putting out. Why?
They're all dead rubbers.
We'll only edit you out. He doesn't know.
I just think it's funny. I think it's the most big licks, big Sam thing possible. Yeah, he's emboldened since the England thing. Already Sam Allardyce.
It is funny because human beings, predominantly, actually only men, get to a certain age and they don't care.
Yeah. Like,
Sam Allardyce is at that stage now. Ken Clark, he's like that now.
Ken Bates. MP.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Ken Bates has never cared.
No, true.
But I mean, he incredibly doesn't care now.
Yeah.
Do you know the Chelsea Stadium thing? I don't think we mentioned this on the show, but we were talking about it a few weeks ago. They finally had permission to... They're knocking down a hotel, aren't they?
They need to knock down a part of some of the building or the structure around the stadium to expand the actual stadium.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that there was some... I don't know if they were apartments or they were hotel rooms or whatever they were, but there was one person left.
It was a penthouse.
It was a penthouse, and there was one person who...
Neil Holm.
Yeah, if you like, who was holding up the whole proceedings, and it was Big Ken Bates.
That is amazing.
Brilliant, isn't it? Doesn't care. Does not care.
No. Yeah. That's not the equivalent of that Chinese house that they can knock down.
There's loads of them. They're called nail homes, I think.
Oh, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
A friend of our... I can't know if I can say the story. I'll give it a go. A friend
Jesse Lingard.
Friend of ours of the Ramble, who remained nameless, said that he was at some thing and Ken Bates was there and walking around and speaking in a certain way to lots of people, and there was a little old lady, basically his cheerleader, walking around after him going, "Oi, that's Ken Bates, you know, that's Ken Bates." Yeah. I've watered down that story for the sake of jail time.
When I first I had a job out of university, well, actually it was when I was at university at Chelsea Fan TV.
Oh, I remember you had that.
Chelsea TV, and it was when Ken Bates was the owner.
Right.
And
you used to bring your boots every week, didn't you?
Yeah, well, you never know. They only had Desai at the back at the time. I never actually encountered him, but I was told very, very early on that it's Mr. Chairman is the only way you can refer to him.
Okay.
So if he comes and talks to you, you've got to call him Mr. Chairman.
Wow.
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Chairman.
Let's just say it's a good job I didn't meet him.
Yeah. Back to Everton and Liverpool, or Liverpool-Everton. It's a huge game, though. And if Sam Allardyce
turns up,
can get a win, if he fancies it,
yeah.
if he can get a win, Everton, I mean, they'll be off.
They'll be away.
That would be amazing.
You know. And it would be quite, I mean... Maybe.
It's unlikely, though, based on the form of Liverpool.
I mean, yeah, and I think they're winless in 17 Premier League visits to Anfield, so it'll be a big scalp.
I think there's some Liverpool fans out there who probably think that will be typical.
Yes.
If we win, we go through in the Champions League in some style, we score 7 goals, and then we lose 3-1 to Everton at home or something. But Everton are 9-1 with Bet365 to win at Anfield on Sunday under Big Sam's stewardship, should he decide to turn up. And £10 will return £100, including stake.
I think it's not a bad bet, that. Mm. Not a bad bet at all. Do you see Sam Allardyce and Everton have been linked with Stephen Nzonzi?
Yeah.
In January.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that would be a coup, because Nzonzi's playing... I mean, well, he's fallen out of favour a little bit with Sevilla, and some people saying he's just... They're not clicking. They've fallen out of love. But he has been playing pretty well in the last couple of seasons.
I massively underestimated Stephen Nzonzi.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's been compared with Sergio Busquets and some of the stats at various points of the season, like the first half of the season, or was it last year, or, you know, back that up. And Sevilla, of course, he's playing in the Champions League. Yeah. You know,
I mean, the teams we know him from as well are obviously Blackburn and Stoke, where they played very sort of combative football, so you might not have noticed.
I think sometimes Britain's not great for reputation sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Lately.
Or just in general, Peter. Certainly at the moment.
He's still 28 as well. I would have thought he'd be older than that.
But, yeah, and he's so close to getting that England call up as well.
Oh, God.
him and Arteta in the middle.
He's actually been capped for France now, hasn't he? I think he has.
Is that right? Yeah. I think France out of...
So let's nip that in the bud.
Out of principle, we're like, oh, for crying out loud, we can't get in here. Yeah. Oh, dearie me. But yes, the Merseyside derby, we're looking forward to that one. There is a London derby on Saturday. It gets the Premier League proceedings underway, I believe. Manchester United, for crying out loud. West Ham United against Chelsea. We'll talk about the Manchester derby in a bit, getting giddy over that. But the Hammers, 10 points from 15 matches so far, second bottom. Better news from West Ham, though, is that apparently they've made up with Sporting after falling out with the Lisbon club over the proposed transfer of William Carvalho last summer. That was the whole Dildo Brothers business. But according to West Ham, friendly relations between the clubs will resume and there will be no barriers to both clubs negotiating or working together in the future.
Yeah, I mean, the strange thing about this is that they put a statement out to say that they basically made up. Mm. So they're like Joan Crawford and Bette Davis.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Jim, you famously on within these four walls anyway described David Moyes as a man who shepherds living teams to the world of the dead.
Yeah, he's the ferryman.
Have you seen anything since then in that 4-0 defeat to Everton or
2-1 loss to City?
Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
Come on,
Man City were dreadful that day, but that wasn't too bad.
Well, even though before that he was being his typical negative self. If anything, the picture has just become more vivid, Luke, to be honest. I can just picture it far more clearly.
The next two games are Chelsea and Arsenal. Presumably they're going to beat Arsenal at home.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's one of those things, isn't it? Quite often you look at a team having a tough run of fixtures and you think they're not going to get anything out of that, and inevitably football's not as simple as that, and they do. But with the risk of setting myself up for a fall, I think that probably will happen here, and that would give them, they'd be on like... Or it'd be 10 points after 17 games or something like that, and you're in trouble at that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, big time, of course, yeah. But, I mean,
would they beat Arsenal? Because haven't Arsenal turned a bit of a corner now?
Yeah, but they might turn around it again.
Although the problem for Arsenal is...
It's a circular corridor
Arsenal
anyway.
Arsenal went to turn a corner, and Jose Mourinho has stood on the corner and put a stop to that, as he tends to do. But West Ham, they're in desperate need of points, and playing Chelsea isn't ideal if you're after them points. But then Crystal Palace thought that, didn't they? They got a win against Chelsea.
Exactly. And
is it a good omen? Does it even matter in the slightest?
Well, sometimes it takes that sort of that sense of panic setting in from you getting battered over and over again for teams to actually step up and give a big performance. It could easily be that either Chelsea or Arsenal underestimate West Ham. They step up, nick a goal, get a penalty, someone gets sent off and they can get something. We see it all the time. I mean, look at Man City. You know, the first half, you could have made an argument that they're about to do that there. So I think, you know...
They should take a lot of heart from that.
Absolutely.
And they should put themselves in the position... They've played Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal three games in a row. They need to put themselves in the position. And David Moyes needs to make sure they take confidence from that game against City and say to them, if any of these three, or these two teams now, because they've already played City, if either of these two teams aren't at the races, we've got to take advantage of that. We have to, because we're at home for both these games. It's important that we do so. And West Ham are now 10-11 to be relegated with Bet365. So £10 will return £19.09, including stake.
Yeah, West Ham, if they lose, there will be a bit of unrest, you'd imagine, in the crowd. They've had their bothers at the London Stadium this season. Hopefully no one will resort to dropping their trousers, though.
No, oh, God.
As in the stands. As
have you got
saw.
A follow-up on that?
I've got a follow-through on that.
I want you to be careful, because this guy's only 17 years old.
Yeah.
And we can't be hypocritical. We've all done stupid things when we were 17.
I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. I'm doing it now.
Bless him, though. He's actually come out and, you know, publicly named himself and apologised for it.
He claimed he didn't jobby in the stands.
No, he said it won't happen again. I got a quote from him.
It won't happen again.
Got a quote from him. A lad who sat next to me put on Twitter saying it didn't happen. He said, I can confirm he didn't have a shit in his seat. I can confirm he had a piss. So... It starts well, but I'd have stayed incognito for myself on that one.
We did establish that a jobby is much worse than a piss.
Yeah, you can imagine his mate saying, don't worry, I've sorted you out there.
Yeah. he himself said, I'd rather it be that than having a shit on the seat, but I'd rather it be nothing at all. We all agree, mate. And bless him.
A number zero would have been better than the number one, but the number one is better than a number two. The higher the numbers go, it's worse.
My favourite bit of the whole story is he admitted that he was very drunk, having had 12 beers, 6 ciders, but only ate 2 chocolates from an advent calendar that day.
If further proof he needed, then that is bad luck.
Well, I mean, that proves that there was no poo to be had.
Yeah.
He drank a lot and eaten very little.
He's got poor admin because he obviously forgot to eat the advent calendar from the day before.
Or he was cheating.
Yeah.
he's gone ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so there
advent,
we are.
Advent, more
he said the first one was a snowman, the second one was a cracker.
Is that right?
No, I made that.
There we are. Well, on that note, we have to go to correspondence with this man called Pete Donaldson.
PD. Yes, Diddly
we do. Yes, we do.
Pete, you're off to Kenya tonight, aren't you? So we've got you're back for Monday, but we've got to take advantage of you as while we can.
Christmas in Kenya.
Christmas in Kenya. That's what I'm up to. That is what I'm up to. We got an email from Andrew Murray. Hello, Andrew Murray. My dad's a Geordie, and he always says, "Get your shit in one sock."
Oh, really?
Oh. Remember we were talking
about this
earlier
on? I'd love it if he just emailed me in and just went, "My dad's a Geordie. See you later."
Thank you.
A friend of mine, it was a number of years ago when Derby County were in the Premier League with a certain Costa Rican playing up front for them. And they were playing football for the team, and he only had one sock on, and he lost the other. And one father took great delight in calling him Paolo One Sock for the rest of the afternoon.
Nice. And great reserve not using Paolo One Chop's name at the start of that. Yeah.
Oh, I know what I'm doing now.
All in the delivery. That
not your first rodeo. So presumably, like, apparently it means get your shit together. On the subject of missing important goals as well, in 2007, Newcastle drew 1-1 with Arsenal at St. James's Park. Adebayor putting the Gunners 1-0 up in the fourth minute. I'd stayed 5 minutes too long in the pub before kickoff, so I missed that completely. Newcastle didn't have a single scoreboard in the stadium until about 2014. It was in the days before smartphones, so naturally I watched the whole game thinking it was still 0-0. So when Stephen Taylor equalised late on for us, I thought we'd won it 1-0 and celebrated like a madman.
A point still not a bad result.
I was gloating to the away end, sending mocking texts to my Gooner mates. At one point called one up, doing your boys took one hell of a beating speech, quoting famous Arsenal fans like Piers Morgan, and he does
Osama bin Laden.
Moral of the story: get your shit in one sock so you don't miss kickoff.
I used to go to Portsmouth every week way back in the day. The guys I used to play football with, who were all quite a bit older than me, they always used to miss kickoff. He'd do my head in.
Yeah.
It'd be like 15 minutes to kickoff, and it's like a 5, 6, 7 minute walk away.
It's like being at Club Wembley.
And they'd be getting another pint in.
Yeah, not getting
a pint in there.
To be honest, if you do that every week, if you go to the ground every week, I think sometimes it sets in a little bit.
It's just a habit, yeah. It's absolutely a habit.
It's a bad habit, though.
Also, some people are just bad with time. I've got a mate who thinks it takes 20 minutes to get everywhere, so he will leave that amount of time.
Yeah. Marcus Speller.
I pointed at him, Pete read it out.
Aidan, on last Tuesday's podcast, there was some discussion of Jose Mourinho's sneaking into the Chelsea dressing room during a ban. I want to bring your attention to the story of Bobby Valentine in Major League Baseball a few years ago.
During
a game on June... He looks like Bobby Valentine, to be fair, especially by the end of this story. During a game on the June 9th, 1999, during extra innings, New York Mets manager Bobby Valentine was ejected by the umpire for arguing a call. The next inning, Valentine re-emerged, lurking in the tunnel from the clubhouse to dugout, without his uniform, but with a fake moustache, sunglasses, and a different hat. And the video attached, give it a Google, Mr. Bobby Valentine moustache.
Give it a Google.
Incredible.
Like trying to get into a provincial nightclub having been turned away once already.
Pull your socks over your shoes, unless I've got shit in it.
Does that ever work? Has anyone ever tried that?
I've been told that it does work over your trainers.
They would look like woolen shoes,
yeah,
wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I don't care. You're not getting in, you're wearing woolen shoes.
Yeah, but then I suppose, but there would be a chance, wouldn't there? So if you're in the queue for the nightclub, and you obviously, if you've got black socks on, then you put them over. And if a bouncer just sort of glanced,
if you danced in, if you sashayed past him,
if you moonwalked,
I'm ready for dancing.
But if you moonwalked in, the socks would slowly come off. You'd reveal yourself, wouldn't you?
I genuinely got into a nightclub in Portsmouth by putting black socks over my trainers.
Did you actually?
I promise you, I've done that.
Oh, okay. Well, that saves us having people email in.
Yeah,
I like about that, the managers are walking around. They go, get out. None of them are ever going to go, get out.
No, when you're in, you're in.
It's dark. You can't see.
Yeah, you're fine when you're in.
Leg. Pete, you spend all your time the in best, indie nightclubs. You know how dark it is in there.
Yeah, indie nightclubs, you're
allowed trainers.
And they're darker when you get in, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello to Harry, Middlesbrough fan from Wolverhampton, for a final email there this week. Afternoon, gents. After hearing you discuss the isolation of Ramble listeners under the age of 25, I thought I'd get in touch. I'm a graduate of the Football Ramble Youth Academy. At the promising age of 21, I've been a regular listener for 5 years already.
Wow.
I'm not sure I like 16-year-olds listening to this.
I don't like the idea of how young people are. Because if people... So there could be some people... But there could be some people, Marcus, who have listened to us the entire time we've been doing it.
I don't know Dimitri Albertini.
And they might have been doing it, listening since they were 12 years old.
Well,
and now they're adults.
Well, we've stewarded them through
their...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Have you heard any of the content? That's what's wrong with that.
As, you know, look, as we always say... I blame the parents.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I do too. Keep an eye on your kids.
Have a word with your dad.
Yeah.
Well, Harry goes on, the Ramble is the soundtrack to my commute to and from work. My favourite part of the journey, going for Glold, comes up just as I pull into the car park. I look forward to this part of the show all week and have been able to successfully identify a number of players so far. However, my excitement is burst most weeks when Pete reads out the first clue. I was born in obscure European town in any date before 1980.
Oh, okay.
This that, is that, met that's by this met is this is met by a frustrated oh for fuck's sake from me in the car as I now stand no chance of getting the correct
but do
answer.
You, but do your work, do your research. Do you know what I mean?
Research every player. No, it's pre-1990.
I'm not having that because if
were you going to say it's piss poor?
I was going to say it's piss poor.
Marcus Speller.
No, because if you
football pervert.
If the footballer piss was bird. Say Dino Zoff.
Yeah.
For example. And we didn't get that. Yeah. That's poor on us.
Yeah, agree. Yeah.
And Dinos had never played when we were watching football.
Exactly.
For example, you've got to do your research, big boy.
You can never get worse than the guy at that live show once. So Pete did a live going for Glold. And the first clue was I was born in like on the 3rd of May 1980 or something. And then the guy put his hand up and went, Pele.
He panicked. He'd had a lot of drinks and he'd only had a couple of advent calendar chocolates.
We've all done a few of them, though.
Yeah. And then he did a piss in his seat. He didn't. No, if you listen to the Empire, he didn't. Yeah. That was not us.
That post FA Cup show.
Oh, well, did it.
Would no be surprised.
There we are. We're going to talk about the Manchester Derby after this.
All right, then.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yohan Kebab, Shola Amamovi, Hatton Ben Affery.
the sounds of Joe Kinnear, ladies and gentlemen. The Manchester...
Born 1980.
The sultry sounds.
Met him once. Never again.
I met him as well.
You did, yeah.
I've met his like.
He wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed.
No.
No, but then who is? None of us are.
I was going to say, yeah, leave off joking here, everybody. Manchester City, they lost. They're beatable, Jim. They can be beaten by football teams.
If they bleed, we can kill them.
Yes. Yeah.
In the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator, slightly changed.
Slightly altered to fit in for this Super Sunday context. They lost for the first time since April. They were away to Shakhtar of course. Which is always a tricky place to go, etc. Although Shakhtar are a genuinely good side. But they were already going through as group leaders, so for Manchester City there was not much to play for. And Pep Guardiola did say that obviously it hurts to lose, but he seemed quite pleased to get the loss out the way.
He made a lot of changes as well.
He did make a few changes.
Putting a positive spin on it.
He is. Well, he has to.
It's just the way it is.
Quite. But they got beaten by a long ball over the top that just, you know, evaded their defence, which is very, very un-City for the second goal, rather.
It was quite pleasing, though, for the neutral.
Yeah, oh, very much so. But do you think there's anything in that? We're good to get the loss out of the way? Because, I mean, I think Mourinho is going to be looking at this thinking, I am going to drag this into the trenches and you are not going to like it.
Is Fellaini fit?
He wasn't able to drag it into the trenches against Arsenal.
No.
And if you were going to have a defeat as a Man City manager in the shape that they've been in, you'd probably take this game.
Well, you would. And even the sort of psychological, geological factor that it's well away from home as well. So it's not at the Etihad. It's in a faraway land. And you come back and you go, right, well, we'll back on then.
It's geographical, not geological.
Sorry.
It's not the rocks. The rocks have nothing to do with it.
Well, I suppose it's rocks, topography.
Were they playing on a cliff?
Well, yeah. Rocks make up places, mate.
That's true, actually.
So without rocks, you don't have geography.
In a way, everything's geological. Yeah. But Phil Foden played, didn't he?
I didn't
see the game because I was watching the Liverpool game, but I know that Phil Foden actually started and finished the game as well. So yeah. I don't know how he got on.
Solid as a rock.
It's exciting to see him start to play, though, because he's very, very highly rated.
Yeah.
Is it? No, are you taking the mick
there? No, he is.
Okay, yeah.
He's
okay.
Usually Holly
Why
are
you taking the mick? It's because all anybody spoke about for 3 weeks a little while ago.
Yeah, I had a pop sign. I don't think he was very good. That was a joke.
Is he going to get on the England jet?
You'd have him on there, would you?
I'd have him all on there.
The double decker. The party plane.
The fleet.
Do you think
the
that...
The English armada of the sky.
Here's a question to follow up on your point, Jim, about Mourinho taking it into the trenches.
Yeah, Jim.
This game's at Old Trafford, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are the United faithful going to accept the way that Man City are playing and they're likely to win the league and they're playing much better football than Man United.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Are they going to accept that Mourinho's setting up his team and playing in that way at home against their rivals?
They're going to have to.
Let's ask those Sikh guys that are always in the front.
Yeah.
Always get on the camera.
They do, don't they?
They do. Yeah. I wonder if they pay extra for that.
Are they the United faithful?
I think they are.
They are.
But if you look at the West Ham game, the way West Ham set up in the first half in particular, where they just sort of let City come at them, try to figure them out for a bit, I think obviously Man United will be able to do that in a way that's far less timid, almost, if that makes sense. In that, I don't think Mourinho will be shy about just trying to slam them on the break because they can turn the ball over so quickly. You've got players like Pogba that can just pick a pass and power through that midfield. And I think that's what Mourinho's going to do. I mean, when I say take it down to the trenches, I don't think he's going to sort of like just pack the box and just wait for City to come at them. I think he's going to very deliberately try and just hit them on the break all game because I think, you know, like Shakhtar, they're slightly vulnerable to that.
And inexplicably, I suppose it's not that inexplicable, but Graham Souness hates Paul Pogba, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah,
yeah, I saw his comment. Hates flash players.
He's always complaining about him, yeah. But I think it'll be a fascinating game. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a well-rested City playing at Old Trafford because we've seen, not that long ago, maybe 5 years ago, City record sort of historic results at Old Trafford. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting.
Well, we've had some good matches in previous weeks in the Premier League, so maybe
it's a good
we'll have another one here.
Fellaini is a slight doubt.
What?
Does the whole look of the game, the whole result, hinge on that?
Would you reckon Mourinho would start him?
He will feature if he's fit.
I mean, it's just like doubt, but I mean, people doubt he's a footballer, to be honest.
The thing is, he's so effective.
Yeah, I know, he's effective.
That. I think
in the same way that,
he's geological.
Letting a yak out on the on the pitch would be just as disruptive. Hey, somebody get rid of that yak.
Hang on, he scored a few goals for Portsmouth.
And he's still only 30. I think like a prime minister, I think history will be rather kinder to Marouane Fellaini.
Yeah. I should say so.
Yeah, but Man City are 23-20 to win at Old Trafford with Bet365, so £10 that will return £21.50, including stake. Should Pep's men do the business?
Going briefly back to Shakhtar, Pete, did you enjoy Paolo Fonseca, the boss, saying he'd dress up as Zorro in his post-match press conference and then did?
That was great.
The doing is very much part of...
doing is the crucial bit.
The thing, isn't it? Yeah.
He looked great as well.
He did.
He looked like he could have been him in a movie.
Well, I thought that's the real Zorro. There he is.
Could have been a ruse.
Yeah, and that's the real Zorro. Guardiola aimed a little dig at Pep and Veng ahead of the Manchester Derby. saying about injuries Manchester United had.
He won't shut up about it, will he?
He loves it, doesn't he? He basically went through all the Manchester United injuries and said, he's a doubt, he's not going to play, da-di-da-di-da, and then said, this is not like David Silva being injured, like Pep suggested, or Lacazette, when Wenger said he would be injured, and of course then played and scored against Manchester
United. But he also said, he said, everyone, this guy's injured, this guy's a doubt. And then Nemanja Matic, he said, he's injured, 100%, but he will play. As in, and what he was trying was that, oh yeah, but my players play through the pain barrier. And it feels like to me, and this won't be a revelation to many people, I suppose, but it feels like to me that Mourinho settles on a particular subject or a theme, and he just hammers it home over and over again to the point where people just start believing it, almost like Donald Trump, where people just start believing it. So the reason he's doing this, in my assessment, is if Man City walked the league, the narrative's already going to be laid, oh, yeah, but Man United had really bad injuries all season, and that's why it happened, which is obviously complete nonsense.
Yeah, I think like the FA are going to have to put some sort of subclause into their rules that states that if you talk about something by just saying you're not talking about it, you are still talking about it, like Jose.
And you get a ban.
Yeah, and you get punished in the same way you would.
No, I think you get muzzled. Literally, in the press conference. So you have a member of the what would be the Premier League, probably, sat there with a muzzle in his hand. And if you start then just talking, as you say, saying stuff while not saying it, if you know what I mean.
No, you got to wear an inverse Zorro mask, which covers your mouth and your eyes.
Well, either or is fine. But
like surgical mask.
But as long as they get the indignity of the employee of the Premier League leaning over going, no, boom, and sticking something, sticking on their face. And then they can only nod and shake their head.
And you've got to keep it on for the game.
Yeah, I think that would work.
Yeah, done.
It would be the deterrent that we've been scrambling.
Bloody game's gone without stuff like this.
Motion passed.
Speaking of injuries, Jim, what did you think of Jack Wilshere posting an ice skating photo the other day?
I was impressed. It's the first time I've ever seen a player be on thick ice. It's an incredible way.
Especially Wilshere.
Yeah, well, indeed. He even joked, didn't he? I skated for 20 minutes and didn't get injured. But Wenger said, bless him, he put a brave face on it, saying, you know, it's actually quite good for your balance. But yeah, it's not great, is it?
You're not allowed to do loads of stuff.
Ice skating is one of those things you can very easily just break an arm if you fall over.
You'd hope that a Premier League standard footballer would be able to stay on
Well, you would think, though, but the main worry for anybody when you ice skate is that you'll fall over and then somebody will skate over your hands and cut them off, as we all know.
Well, he wouldn't be able to smock, so it'd be fine.
Do you want to know the main danger for injuries for ice skating isn't to do with your arm, it's your ankles.
Right.
My sister used to be a dancer and she was never allowed to go ice skating.
Right.
Because it can really hurt your ankles if you twist and turn and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he did have a cigarette on the go, didn't he, Jack, at the time? No?
It's behind his ear. I don't think he was actually smoking it.
Rolly.
No evidence.
He gave it to his child to hold.
I've seen him play in the Champions League with a rolly behind his ear.
It's just for the look. Don't like it.
That's a cigar.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I applied it to a cigarette. They're very different things. If Manchester City win a trophy this season, will Kevin De Bruyne do an Alexander Andreasen?
I don't know what that is.
Well, Andreasen, he plays in Norway. His team Lillestrøm won the Norwegian Cup recently. For the first time in 10 years, they won the Cup. He ruined or made the party, depending on your take on this, by stripping naked and cupping his bits with the cup itself.
Oh, teabag the cup.
Yeah, so he put his knob and balls into the sort of the cup, so he was naked, but they couldn't see his manhood.
I know what you meant.
Yeah.
They still get the cup, though, right? They still count as winners.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Is that any worse than, was it Puyol dropping it off the bus, or was it Ramos?
Yeah, it was Ramos,
I don't think he meant to.
Didn't the bus drive over it as well?
Yeah.
But it was in transit at the time, wasn't it? Yeah. So a member of the Norwegian FA said he'd wish the footballer had shown the cup a little more respect. And Andreas had responded by saying, I can understand people didn't like it, but should I apologise to the king?
Well, no one's saying that.
No. Well, yeah. It's a strange diversionary tactic.
You want me to apologise to the king? You want me to do it? No. No one's asking you to just don't put your fucking knob and stuff.
Yes, but
don't put your knob in stuff people have to use.
And if you are going to apologise to the king, get dressed first.
So there we are. Are we ready to move on to
put
Newcastle?
Put that crown down.
I haven't talked to Pete Donaldson, PD, P Don, Donny, about Newcastle for bloody weeks.
Oh. It's been a little while. Well, Ashley's still in charge.
Yeah, I mean, are you just bringing up Newcastle because there was a news story saying Staveley's the bid is off? Is that why you're...
It's a derisory offer, according to Big Mikey.
Has he ghosted her? Yeah. That was happening.
I have no idea. Well, Amanda Staveley apparently has put in a £250 million offer, although some reports suggest that Ashley wants £380 million. So one thing we're definitely sure of is the club is not worth £380 million.
Yeah. Well, what'll happen is they'll go, right, we want to give this amount of money. Ashley will say no. And they'll go, right, the closer you get to relegation, this club is worth less and less and less.
Mm, yeah.
And Ike Ashley will put in less and less and less money into the club because he doesn't want to put money into something he's about to sell. So we're screwed anyway, aren't we? So it's just, you know, as when this first came out, I did say it'll all go to shit, innit?
Yeah, so, it's funny that, isn't it?
That's weird, that.
Funny you said that.
Funny I said
like
that.
Brexit in microcosm.
I'd like to see Newcastle relegated and Ashley still stay in charge, personally.
Luke, well, apologise to the king.
Yeah. All right, let me just get dressed. Pete, it's very, very early on.
Apologise to Ledley King.
It's very, very early on to say it's all gone to shit, and I always knew it would go to shit.
Oh, he's rubbish!
Because you said that about everything.
Yeah, and it's ongoing, isn't it? It's a negotiation.
Yeah, but he's probably right about this one, though, isn't it?
I think Mike Ashley was capitalising genuinely. I know it has very little to do with what's happening on the pitch, but I think Mike Ashley was capitalising on a surprisingly strong start to the Premier League season and sort of gone, oh, right, there's me out. Let's make a bit of money. And and the form has not followed through. The
recent
the players
results
just
have not been good.
No.
They're helping.
They're a championship team, aren't they, Marcus, in the Premier League?
How dare you? Do you think he'll sell on Christmas Day to give the City the best Christmas present they could have wished for? Do you think that's the idea?
You pre-wrote that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Just didn't really go with the conversation there. No. I'm going to go with no.
Okay.
Is Amanda Staveley going to be available on Christmas Day to complete the purchase?
Yeah. Mm. It's probably quite a lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's good friends with our queen, May. So
May.
Maybe she's very...
May?
Elizabeth.
Queen
May.
No, we've actually got a queen.
Yeah, what? Well, maybe she's highly religious, so she won't be doing anything on Christmas Day, apart from being Christmassy.
If Queen Elizabeth II passes away, sadly... Is it your understanding that Theresa May becomes the queen?
She's the queen of youth team.
I can't believe you just said our queen. She's very friendly with our queen, May.
Yeah. Well, I clearly know that the Prime Minister of England is not heir to the fucking throne.
He's
Luke.
The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Yeah, you knob, so I'm wrong again.
Oh, there again, Dawson.
What does David Attenborough do, Pete? Where is he in line to the
he's
throne?
He's the emperor of the animals. Topology.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
He's the emperor of the animals.
He's king of the animal kingdom.
Yeah, loving it.
There's a bit more news for you, Pete. Right. Newcastle are now 5-1 with Bet365 to be relegated from the Premier League this season.
Jettisoned.
£10 will return, £60, including stake, should they disastrously fall through that trapdoor.
Well, I've already put on more than 10 quid. Let's be very clear, Luke. It's the only thing that makes me happy.
They last won in the league on the 21st of October.
All right.
2017. Always worth stating. They've lost 5 and drawn 1, Peter.
I mean, they will be alright because there are some dreadful teams this season. Well, as there always is.
They're playing Leicester. Then Leicester have won 2 on the bounce. They're looking better under Puel.
Do you think
they'll win the duel with Newcastle?
Lascelles just needs to come back, to be honest. He's been a big miss. Surprisingly a big miss. I didn't see him being such a big player this season, but
he really has
stepped up.
Well, he is the captain, Peter.
There's shambles without him.
They've got a big... they've got a bit of a sort of inconsistent group of fixtures coming up. They play Leicester, then they play Everton at home, then they go to Arsenal, then West Ham, then they're at home to City, then they're at home to Brighton. So Rafa will definitely be wanting to pick up some points in some of those games. Well, but it's a bit of a mixed bag.
We said this about when they played about 3 or 4 matches ago. We had three or four matches that were eminently winnable, and Newcastle just did not put any points on the board. It's just disappointing.
It feels a bit like Newcastle still haven't figured out if they believe they belong in the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? They put a little bit of a run together and it's like, all right, we're back, we're Newcastle, we know who we are, and then they just go on a losing streak and then that sort of nerves comes in.
But you've got like Hosselu, who's quite a good kind of like knockdown kind of guy, but he ain't going to score any goals. He can't hit the goal for love nor money. And Dwight Gayle's a little bit lightweight. And all the other options. He can't stand Mitrovic. He doesn't want to put him on the field unless we're 4-0 down to sort of go, oh, well, look at that rubbish. So
is it fair to say that essentially Ashley hasn't backed Rafa in the quest for a striker that Benitez wanted?
Also it was 5 million quid. And he's made the point, he sort of said, look, if you kick the ball forward, it's 10 million. If you get in the box, it's 15 million. If you score a reasonable amount of goals, it's 20 million nowadays. And things haven't moved on. That's what that was Rafa's reasoning. Yeah. And we got a 5 million striker in the shape of Hosselu, who's not a...
He's not
a striker. He's a forward.
I always automatically assumed that Newcastle would be okay in the Premier League purely because Benitez is such a good manager. But you know, you are right. I mean, they need to address the slump because it's easy to get into a habit of losing games in the Premier League.
Atsu's a big miss as well. They've lost their pace in
but the feeling around the club as well is with Ashley. You know, the fans are fed up with him. You know, Benitez is fed up with him as well, and that will filter around. That will. You know, get into the mindset somewhere.
Definitely, because they're a massive club in the Championship, and it's easier, much easier, obviously.
Is it at the point where Amanda Staveley is fed up with him as well?
Is she already looking to sell?
Already looking to get out of the deal. Well, there we are. Poor old Newcastle. Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Our best bet comes this week, courtesy of Mr. Niall Hankinson.
Oh, Hanko!
Hanko says, "All right, gents, I started listening to The Ramble late on last season. I really enjoy it, and I fancy a crack in the hot seat. This weekend has got to be about the derbies on Sunday. We all can't wait for the games, and I reckon Messrs Allardyce and Mourinho will go out and kill both games dead. They both know how not to lose games, and draws are more than good enough for the pair of them against the sexier halves of their cities." Controversial, that, Niall. "The two draws has got to be a decent shout. Get me in the hot seat and let's raise some decent money for a good cause. Cheers, Niall." So he's gone for the draw double in Everton v Liverpool and United v City. So both those games need to be draws for the bet to come in. It's 17.37-1. So £50 with Bet365 will return a colossal £918.50, including stake.
Blimey.
With all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information, go to begambleaware.org. That is a huge bet, but I quite like it.
I like it. Mm. Yeah,
big things. Big things.
So, fingers crossed, Niall. No one's got the hat trick yet. We're in December now. No one's got it.
He's on his first one.
He is on his first one. I've got two, I think, and I've never got the third. Yeah, so no one's done it.
A few people have done a double, yourself included.
It feels like it might be impossible. Who knows?
Well, let's look ahead to the weekend, though.
Yeah, a few things on the Facebook here. Andy Mitchell-Moore. "Having just realised that my wedding day is the day before the World Cup final and that my wife-to-be has agreed the first day of our married life is allowed to be spent watching the game. What a keeper.
Oh.
No doubt it'll end up being a thoroughly enjoyable Switzerland v Serbia final to really maximise the experience."
Okay. It'd be unlikely, very unlikely.
Peter Carr. "Sven-Göran Eriksson becoming Australia's national team coach and getting the Socceroos through to the quarterfinals for a penalty shootout with England."
I mean, that's not going to happen on the weekend, is it?
No, not really. He's very, very loosely interpreted the brief there.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're going to decide on Svenigan's or the rest of the candidates, if there are any.
Yeah, they should have been.
I think into the new year. I think it's until February. But thank you for all your tweets. I'm well aware.
I love the detail in which you know about this.
Yeah, well, of course he does. Everyone gets
it. Because I was sent enough articles about it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Sent.
What's wrong with
you anyway. Wrote. You've got your Sven contacts.
Jim wrote. Australia at the World Cup. Interestingly enough, I singled them out.
Yeah.
When we were talking about the draw, and I had no idea Sven was involved. And who knows?
Are you the new Tord Grip?
I've
loved that.
He's the new Sven WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Give me that phone.
It could be, you know, if Sven gets the job, bonza.
If Sven was the president of the United States, you'd be Julian Assange.
Fair dinkum.
Dan Shoesmith, friend of the Ramble.
Oh, yeah.
"I'm looking forward to David
Hold
Moyes."
Hold up the Svenbacy.
Yeah, there we go.
Nice.
Wasn't worth the wait.
No, it wasn't. Sorry.
I liked
apologies.
It.
Dan Shoesmith. Well, apologise to Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
Dan Shoesmith.
I'm very tired,
so
I'm sluggish and slow.
"He's looking forward to David Moyes' post-match interview defending his decision to recall Joe Hart to the starting lineup, having just been annihilated 12-0.
Would he be at the Svenigan?
Better.
That's good. Nice. Very, very good. Paddy Gundry says, "I'm looking forward to some more Jesse Lingard chat." Well, you've had some of that, Paddy. And Martin Shaw directs this one at Pete particularly, saying, "I'm most looking forward to Jermaine Genius's jigsaw."
Yeah, oh, come on.
Aren't we all?
That's rude, isn't it? Yeah.
Aren't we all? Oh. It's only the quiz show that Going for Gold could have been.
The quiz show to end all quiz shows.
Let's spend the show.
All right, there we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's been a lovely time. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Hasn't it just, eh?
Yeah. It certainly has.
Excellent stuff. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
I'm goring to the pub.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Bye-bye.
That's bye from me. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.